play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2021 AT&T Byron Nelson at another new golf course. Seems like a rotating curve around here. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I am at BDentric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. I don't even know if you saw the shirt.
Oh, no, I did not. Oh, that is outstanding. When did you get that?
I got it a couple weeks ago. I just haven't worn it, so...
Yeah, no, I saw that. I've never seen those advertised. Like, that's a pretty sweet shirt.
I forgot even where I bought it.
It's just one of those you saw it, had to buy it, done, deal. Yep, I'm with you. I do a lot of that. My wife, shirts will come in or something. My wife goes, why did you buy them? Well, I look really cool at the time. I don't know. It's what it is. But
yeah,
he's back in the field this week, so that'll be fun.
Hideki, yes.
Yes, the Hideki bot.
For those non-YouTube watchers, I got a Hideki shirt with this caddy. As he's bowing toward the, like, I don't, you know, it was a picture. And anyway, somebody made it into a shirt. I bought it.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool deal. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays after his, he went to Japan right away. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. And I think it's his first time back in playing. So we'll see how that goes for Hideki. And pretty loaded field. DJ already withdrew. But before we get into that, Wells Fargo, we kind of talked about it last week that 10K was too cheap. We said a few weeks off might have done him well. There was discussion. I don't know if it was on the show or in the Slack chat. Reports came out how he went back to his old clubs and setup, like little things like that that he could tweak. Rory McIlroy, it was kind of a typical Thursday Rory. We're like, what are you doing? And then he just caught fire and did Rory things. So he's back in the winner's circle. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously at a place where he's comfortable. That's his third win there, right?
I believe so, yeah.
You know, so for those who don't think course history matters, I mean, it's funny how they're always chirping when somebody misses a cut at a place where they normally have success, but they lay really low when somebody who has had success in the past, you know. I mean, with Rory, he's an elite talent, so you knew he was going to get it back at some point. And, you know, it was last week. And I think he's figured out that, like, it's not about chasing Bryson and he's just got to go play his own game. And when he does play his own game, when he's on his game, he's one of the best golfers in the world. He's so good off the tee. And when his putter works, he's almost impossible to beat. So, yeah, he had it clicking last week, man. And unfortunately, I didn't play him in any DraftKings. But talk about some cut carnage, man. Did you see those finishing holes, those guys? I know it was windy in the afternoon on Friday. And, you know, that really messed with some things, but shit, man, that was like Sungjae. I went to the land of no service. I didn't have any service at all. And then I come back and I've got nothing but like two of sixes. That's all I had. Three lineups, all of them two of six. And I was expecting at least have one five of six out of that. No good.
Yeah, no, I was telling you earlier, it's the first time I got to golf in a while. It was last Friday. And when we teed off, it was like the cut line was hovering close, getting close to plus one. I'm like, okay, this is what it is. Then I get done golf and I look and I'm like, holy crap, what just happened here? I felt like Bryson DeChambeau. Like, I flew back to my place in Texas and realized it's time to come back to North Carolina. So, it was pretty wild seeing guys, you know, start trunk slamming all over the place. A massive, massive carnage. Like, guys, you know, Max Homa had a rough week. I would still play him next time out probably, like, because he's that good. Just one of those deals. Especially when you see a guy like Homa and he's on Twitter, like right away, just talking about, like, you could tell he just didn't have his game this week. And he's just like, you know what? It is what it is. It's golf.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other guys will go hide in a hole. He's like, nope, it's golf. Come razz me if you want. I razz you all the time. So let's go play. Yeah. But so that was cool. Bryson being Bryson was interesting. And he started figuring it out, it seemed like, as the weekend went on, which could be interesting for the next few weeks with Bryson. But I like what you said about Rory. You know, a couple of weeks at home with the new little one, his wife, just working on the range and playing some friendly golf, not thinking about hitting it 400 yards. It's amazing what happens. Like, you just get that all out of your head. Because you said it. We've said it many times on the show. He is literally one of the best in the world. That's easy stuff. You don't have to listen to the show for that. And when he loses or like all those runner-up finishes he's always getting, it was like one minor, like his approach game or his putting game. Like, one thing was always just off. He put it all together and took it down. So that was definitely cool to see. But what about, yeah, wild tournament.
What about Phil?
Yeah, first round leader to basically almost DFL. that was as Phil as it gets. That's all I have to say.
I got some buddies who like to bet, and you know, we were talking about it afterwards, and he said 64 on Thursday, and I put the over under for him at 74.5, and I had a buddy jump all over that, and I've just seen it so many times with him, man. I mean, 64, 75, 76, 76.
That's why, like I said it last week, like we were all kind of unanimous on it. It's like, I just can't play him. Like, the 64 is awesome. He made the cut for you. So yeah, you got four rounds out of him, but what did he do for you?
Right.
Like I had a 5 of 6 that like was fifth in the junkies and finished pretty well on some other 3 maxes. And that was because Adam Shank like pooped the bed. But like Shank not making the weekend probably still scored close to it. Phil did overall on the whole thing. It's just crazy. Phil's just in another element right now. Like when the senior tour gets put, our champions tour gets put on DFS, I'm in. But it's really hard to back him right now.
I'm with you, man. I mean, it's like you just can't. I'm not going to play him. So whatever.
No. The hardest thing is like in recent weeks, at least in these kind of tougher fielded tournaments, I guess you could say, we used to be able to find some value like 6K guys rather easily. They're seeming even more volatile to me, at least the last few weeks. So
yeah,
that'll be interesting going into this week, and it keeps pushing me to play like more 9K, 8K guys than the 10K guys. So yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, fun tournament, always a good one. At Quail Hollow. Look forward to that next week. And this week, we head to Texas for the Byron Nelson, AT&T Byron Nelson, the classic, the invitation. It's not the invitation, but many different names for it. We just call it the AT&T Byron Nelson. And what do you got for past events history, Jesse?
I mean, it doesn't matter because we're at a different golf course, like the third or fourth golf course this golf tournament's been played at in the last few years. But no tournament last year, canceled. Before that, Sung Kang was the winner, 2019, 23 under, 2 shots over Every and Pearson.
Was that the year Joel Dahman called him out?
I don't think so.
I can't remember. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just speculating. Sorry.
Could have been around that time. I don't remember. Aaron Wise, that was the time that he tried to kiss his girlfriend and she denied him, 23 under, 3 shots over Mark Leishman. Billy Horschel was the 2017 champion, 12-under playoff over Jason Day. Garcia's won this twice. Steven Bowditch actually holds the tournament record, 259 shots when he won in 2015-18 under 4 shots over Hoffman, Pinckney, Walker. Again, it doesn't matter because we're not at the same golf course, but we are in Texas. Mm-hmm. There's always the Texas narrative.
Yep. And trust me, when we get to fan share, I got the Texas narrative for you.
Good.
So, we got that going. And we talk about this golf course, like you mentioned, it's new. I think Wise was the first year at Trinity when we're all excited because we're getting like, U.S. Lynx golf. Like, here we go. And then the wind didn't blow.
And they just destroyed the golf course.
It was hot as hell. There's no trees. So people were like dropping left and right because of heat stroke. And there was no wind. So these guys were just launching it all over this golf course. So there's that reason that we're at a new golf course. And just because Trinity just didn't work out, it was too far out of town and everything. So they go to TPC Craig Ranch. It's a par 72, 7,468 yards, around 7,500, give or take, depending on how they lay it out here. Bent grass greens, Zoysia fairways. So make sure you check out your grass experts on those ones.
It's a what are the greens? Bent grass?
I was told bent grass, yes. That's the thing is I've seen so much conflicting report from different things right now, and like no one knows anything. Literally, I saw things on Twitter. People watching droid flyovers for this.
It says on the first look on the PGA Tour website that it is bent grass greens.
Okay, so we're gonna go with bent grass for now.
You think they're overseeded?
I don't know. Maybe a little POA. I'm not sure yet. I think the heat in Texas heat and humidity might have killed out the POA part. So I'm going to go more bent grass than POA. Maybe some Bermuda in there.
Who knows?
You never know. But, you know. I think bottom line is if you're out putting good, it don't matter what kind of grass you're on, you're pretty much screwed anyways. But read the grain of that bent grass, that's for sure. Bent grass greens. It's literally all I've done is I've read a few different things. I've looked at the drone footage deals on Twitter. It looks rather wide open. Fairways are pretty generous, not super narrow, not super, super wide, but pretty generous to be able to hit. There's only a couple holes with really troublesome off the tee with trees and whatnot. Most of it's, like I said, wide open. Greens are pretty friendly as far as we know, but tons of bunkers. So you have that going for you. One thing I'll say is the par fives are extremely gettable, like short for a par five. The par fours, a lot of them are over 450 yards. So you have to have that good kind of longer iron approach shot in potentially. And then I think three of the four par threes are well over 200 yards or one super short. And what I did see in one of the things I read, it's like the 15th or 16th, the short par three, they're trying to design it like Phoenix, like at with the waste management, with the stadium set up. So we'll see how that goes. Because we know Dallas area, there's no limit on the fans this week. So like you can have a pretty much good party over there if you feel like it. But we're all kind of guessing right now, really. It's unless you have an expert and they're going to like slide into your Slack chats or something, you're pretty much honed on this one. So with that kind of wonderful analysis, Jesse, what key stats are you looking at?
Who knows, man? I mean, you know, it could be really difficult. It could be really hard. It could be in the middle. I'm just going to wait. Like the normal stuff, look at the strokes gained stuff, guys who are playing well. I mean, that's all really we can do. I would anticipate this place not being super tough. It's a TPC course. It's not, you know, they just love to make these places as easy as possible. It's funny because we were in the same group talking about the rough last week. And, you know, I play a lot at Champions in Lexington, and that's where they play the Barbasol every year. And the freaking rough right now, you can't even hit out of it. But when the Barbasol rolls around, they'll shave it down. I mean, like, you know, it's like the damn green out there. And that's how it was at Quail last week, I feel like. You know, the rough wasn't terrible at Quail. It was in some spots, but not overly difficult. So, anyways, I anticipated playing pretty easy. But with that being said, you know, I don't know for sure. I think par five scoring, I'm going to weight that quite a bit. Par 72, you know, it's usually where these guys attack those holes. So that's kind of where I'm at, man. You know, one of those, it's a great guessing game this week.
It's a huge guessing game. I do think the par fives will be very, very important. That's pretty easy stuff with the length of those, but I'm going to go with just the length of the par threes and the longer par fours. Your second, you're like your one, say 175, 200, maybe a little over 200 yard approach shots in can be pretty important if you want to get crazy. But if it gets windy or something, we know that's the main deterrent in Texas. So like that's what you're hoping for. Who knows what happens? I'm not a meteorologist. We'll keep an eye on that because that thing changes literally like the wind in Texas.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on that. So let's go to fanshare.sports.com. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off the package of your choice. Couple things here. Jesse, you mentioned current form. So best DK scoring last six events. Spieth, Fitzpatrick, Bryson, Rahm, and Willie Z are the top five in this field. Kind of what you'd expect. But now we have some more fun with the last 10 events. Par 72 over 7,400 yards. DK scoring, John Rahm, Spieth, Hideki, Fitzpatrick, Bryson. But if you go a little farther, Fowler and then Ryan Moore comes into play there, which I thought was a little interesting. Not that I'm on Ryan Moore, just kind of wanted to do 10 to kind of spread it out a little more. The last 10 events in Texas now, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama, Brooks Koepka, Matt Kuchar, Thomas Peters, only played in two though, Daniel Berger and Scotty Scheffler are in the mix there. Keith Mitchell even comes up near the top there. And then last 10 on bent grass greens. I told you I'd take care of you in all the facets here. Hideki leads the way on bent grass. Of all things that Hideki leads on these charts is putting. John Rahm, Ryan Palmer, Berger, Spieth, and Bryson. So a lot of the big names on top of the list here to keep in mind, but a few kind of stragglers in there as well. Let's get into it, Jesse, that the DK scoring, and there's only five guys now. Five guys over $10,000. You got Bryson at 11.2, Rahm at 11,000, Spieth at 10.7, Hideki 10.3, Berger 10.1. Which one stands out to you the most up here?
Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
That's it. That's all that matters. Yeah.
Yeah. The scary thing is I knocked on him so much when he was cheap, and now I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to play him at 10.7. Yep. That's where we're at. Like, crap. He got me. You win, Jordan.
I feel like, your Spieth is like me buying cryptocurrency. I love to buy at the top and sell at the bottom. It's really, really a great time.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Obviously, Spieth is my favorite play up here. Third at the Masters, first at the Texas Open. Playing well, he's number one in my model here, and I'm just like I said, I'm waiting strokes gained over the long term and also just, you know, over the short term as well, heavily this week, more so than obviously no course history and so on and so forth. Rahm, I think he's interesting. He's coming off the missed cut. He was really frustrated on Friday. I mean, Thursday especially, but Friday too. I thought he would make the cut after opening with the 76, but he shoots a 70 on Friday, misses the cut. Could it be a Bryson course?
If it's wide open, it could be.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. I think he's GPP play always. And then Hideki is, the thing about Hideki, obviously, so he wins the Masters. He hasn't played since then. That was a month ago. He flies to Japan. I'm sure he had to quarantine there, then does his rounds, flies back, probably has to quarantine here. How much has he played?
Yeah.
So I don't think I'll play Hideki. And I don't know, man. You're not feeling Berger. You got any thoughts on Berger at this point?
Like, in reality, like the fancier stuff we talked about, again, not the end all be all, but he was there in a couple of those ones that really, like, yeah, the 10 tournament samples. We know the form he can be in. He hasn't quite been playing as much as I'd like to see. And like, he did well at the RBC and at the match play, but those aren't like world beater type events. But then again, did well at the Players. So it's tough to see with him. I'm probably not on him. I could see him being extremely well owned here, but I'm not with him. You mentioned Rom, snapped like 22 or 23 straight tournaments without missing a cut. But for me up here, it's Spieth and it's Bryson. And it's just, if this is as wide open as it looks, and if he can bomb it and set himself up for a lot shorter approaches in compared to some of these other guys, I think he could have an absolute field day here. Texas guy, Spieth's a Texas guy. It's going to be old. You're going to get annoyed. If you want to play a drinking game now, every time I say Texas guy, just go for it. In any show you listen to, yeah, it's going to be that narrative. But there's been a lot of truth to it. That's why it's used a lot. Like, these guys, because any condition, they're fine. So I think Bryson's very, very intriguing here. But Spieth's my top guy as well. The scary part is, though, he's probably going to be chalky, and I'm really, like, jumping on a chalky, expensive Jordan Spieth. What could possibly go wrong here, Jesse?
I mean, I'm just going to play him and hope and just watch it work out.
Yeah, I'm saying, you've been doing it. I'm saying, if me finally jumping on, it's like, what could go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think much. I'm a big Spieth guy, so I'm not worried about you playing him finally.
Well, I appreciate that, because we're going to get to your next guy here in the 9K range, and then we're going to get your thoughts on that too. But we got Brooks at 99 coming back after he hasn't played since the Masters. We were surprised he even played there. But if you watch him on social media, he's engaged. He's loving life, having a great time right now. So golf game must be doing well too. I got Willie Z coming off his first missed cut at 9,700. Fitzpatrick's back at 95. Scheffler, 94. I'd imagine he's going to be very popular this week. Burns off the W at the Valspar at 93. Leishman, 92. Palmer, 91. And Sergio, 9,000. Handful of Texas boys in here, Jesse. What are you liking?
I mean, you can play Brooks. I don't think I will. I would rather just take a wait-and-see approach for him. At 99, I mean, if he was like 9,000, it'd be a different story. If he was in 8,000s, for sure. But, at close to basically 10K, I don't know that I really want to play Brooks. I mean, maybe he wins. I'll take my chances that he doesn't. I'll go back to Will Zalatoris at 97. I didn't really follow a whole heck of a lot of, like, what went wrong for him last week. But, the Wells Fargo is not an easy place. And it showed that, the winner was 10 under or whatever. So, first time there for him, I don't really, that doesn't concern me too much. Fitzpatrick, I think, is definitely in play, but I'll let you talk about him. Scheffler, going to be playing him, Texas boy. Yeah. Three straight made cuts, 29th, 18th, 54th in his last three starts. Did miss the cut, the Players, but fifth at the workday before that. So, playing all right. Big Mark Leishman guy this week. I think he lives in Virginia, actually.
Yeah, so he's Virginia.
Yeah. But he seems to play well in Texas and in the wind, So if it's going to be windy, most definitely consider Mark and probably just go ahead and play him. Same with Ryan Palmer. I expect Palmer to be super chalk, though. I've already seen his name. Like, as soon as the odds came out, people were talking about Palmer and stuff. So, Sergio at 9K, off two missed cuts. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's tough to play. Yes, now he is a Texas guy too, so that's going to be part of the narrative, but I can't bring myself to do it. Willie Z is intriguing to me, especially off the missed cut. That form's been just too good. Willing to give him another chance, but I love Fitz. Shocker to any listener here. I just, especially if it gets windy, he can have a field day in that compared to a lot of other golfers. So I like Fitz quite a bit in this format. He's longer than people give him credit for, and it's just his iron plays great. It just comes down, and he saves his ass with putting. It's just a matter of like around the green for the most part with Fitz. So I'll go back to him at 9,500. I love Scheffler. He's going to be very, very popular. I'm pretty sure I'm going to eat the chalk here. Like, this is a guy we know for a fact has played this course many times. He played it in college. He played it in high school. He played it in other forms. Like, he's played competitive golf at this golf course. Probably not to the layout of a PGA tournament, but that's a big plus compared to a lot of other guys in this field. And he's a birdie machine. So I'll take some Scottie Scheffler for sure at 94. Burns, you can make an argument for. Leishman, I like that takes. I think Leishman goes super low owned in this range compared to the rest of the guys. So I think that's their way to go. And I love Palmer too. So this is why week in and week out, I rarely have 10K guys, because I can justifiably, like, if I had to just narrow it down, like Fitzpatrick, Scheffler, Leishman, and Palmer, I could mix and match those four all day and be very, very happy with life. So at least that's where I'm at right now. So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, it's going to be a fun one trying to avoid the 10K and hit the right 9K guys, because that's golf. 8K range, you got Jason Day at 89, Siwoo at 88, English 87, Thomas Peters at 86, Westwood 85, List 84, Wise 83, Cooch 82, Schwartzel 81, Champ and Mitchell 8,000. There's a price bump for you. What do you like in the 8K range?
Start with Siwoo, 8,800, 33rd, 12th, 23rd, 9th in his last four starts. Obviously made four straight cuts. That was after two missed cuts and a WD, so he's figured it out. You know, the Texas Open, he finished 23rd there, which is the last time, obviously, we were in Texas here. So I like him quite a bit at 8,800. Peters at 86. I mean, the dude, he's made top 15 in four straight worldwide events. Now, a little perspective on that. Yes.
Tell me which ones they are, please.
I mean, the Dominican Republic, Qatar, Puerto Rico, and Saudi. Now, the Qatar and Saudi, you know, stronger fields. but the Oppo events, obviously not great. But, I mean, you know, he did finish in the top 15 in those events anyway. So, I like Peters. You know, especially if it's going to be wide open, they're going to be able to bomb it, whatever. Luke List, he actually was in contention for a little bit last week. Shot 72 on Sunday, which is very respectable. Finished 6th. I think he's okay. I don't really know that I want to play him, especially if he's going to be high owned. So consider that if you're considering Luke List. I would rather be on the opposite side of that ownership. Same with Keith Mitchell. You know, he was in contention. Finished 3rd, shot 72 on Sunday. Again, respectable. Very good finish for him. Big price bump, though, from 7,000 to 8,000. Obviously, the field is not as good. But again, if he's going to be chalky, no.
Yeah.
Cameron Champ, he interests me because made two straight cuts. One of those was the Masters. The event before that was the Texas Open, where he finished 34th. He's up and down all around, but I think he's a good GPP play because, I mean, he's literally boom or bust. He's either playing very well or he's missing the cut.
No, that's the truth with Champ. That's why I usually stay away, because I can tilt myself elsewhere, but you're 100% right. We've seen him win tournaments. We've seen him blow up in tournaments. Yeah, but at that price point at 8K, that's like we talk about winning GPPs. Can he top 10 for you? Definitely. So that's an interesting play in regards to that. I do like Siwoo at 88 quite a bit, which is never a good thing. But he's been playing some great golf, and I rode him for a lot of that. So we can go there. Next week's a Pete Dye course, so you know what we're doing with Siwoo there. But I can get on him this week at 8,800. I don't mind Peters at all. I was just giving you a hard time on that because – he, for some reason, just doesn't play a lot of the big tournaments over here. Maybe he's not eligible for it. I don't know what the deal is there. I figure he's top 50 in the world. He'd sneak into some tournaments, but he's very, very good. And I'm with you. He gets in trouble off the tee a lot. And if there's less trouble off the tee here, let's play. Yeah. So I like that quite a bit. Aaron Wise, 9th place last week, 44th at the Valero. He's a Texas guy. I think he's one of those that I wouldn't mind in a GPP at 8,300. But the guy I want in the GPP, I mentioned him last week, finished 14th, finished 21st at the Valspar, almost won the Zurich until his partner went in the water in the playoff hole. But Schwartzel at $8,100,
he's playing really good.
Great golf. Yes. Great golf. And no one owns him ever. So I have no problem going back to him at $8,100. Make the cut, see if he can get hot. If it gets windy, he can play in the wind. There's a lot of things that point in Schwartzel's direction for me at this point in time. I think something I like quite a bit. All right, $7,500 to $7,900. Who are you looking at here?
Start at 77 with Russell Knox. decent showing last week, finished 18th, had four solid rounds, none of them over. Well, this, I guess the 72 is over par, right? This is par 71 last week.
Yes, I think. Yeah.
So one round over par. I think I said that the other guy shot even par. Anyways, long story short on Russell Knox, finished 18th, Valspar 21st, had three straight missed cuts before that, but we're not really going to worry about that too much. Uline at 76. The last time he was in the field was the Valspar. He finished 57th. He made the cut. I talked about him. He played a couple Korn Ferry events since, and I know he finished decent this last one. So go back to him. Doug Gim at 7,500, coming off a missed cut to Valspar, but you know he's up and down. You know we're getting into kind of the this is a very top heavy fielded event.
Big time.
So really good guys up top, and then it really does fall off as we get toward the bottom here, especially in this pricing that DraftKings gave us. So 7,500 for Doug Gim. Not super excited to pay that price, but the GPP upside. Another guy who watches ownership if he gets projected above 10. If guys like Pat Mayo, you know, are mentioning him and stuff like that, you may want to be on the other side of that, but don't mind him at 75.
Yeah, I'm always in on Gim. It's a putting thing with him. So if he can putt, we're in. I do agree, though, watch the ownership because Mayo always loves him as well. And if you start getting chalky with Gim, it's definitely not the same right. appeal. I like the Knox call quite a bit. I had him circled as well. The other guys I want to keep an eye on for ownership-wise and just kind of see. It'd be nice if we had beat reporters. It really would. Because I even saw a quote from Rory that said if he had an early tee time Thursday, he would have went full Webb
Simpson. He wouldn't even gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they must have seen the same neck person the day before or something, and this magical thing happened. I don't know. But that's how crazy it is. We don't know any of that. But like Carlos Ortiz was playing great golf. He's kind of stumbled of late. Texas guy at 78. I'd imagine he's played this course a handful of times because he kind of went to school similar to the time of Scheffler, give or take. So Ortiz and Munoz are two guys at 78 and 76 I find very intriguing to play. They play very, very well in Texas. So I wouldn't mind. Sebastian Munoz had a horrible start to the year, but De Valero finished ninth. Like these guys play in Texas. So I like those two quite a bit in a tournament format. And then I'll keep mentioning him every week because he's boom or bust, as we say. But Camilo Viegas at 7,500, I don't mind him at all. I prefer him on shorter tracks, but like you said, very top-heavy field, a guy that can make the cut, and if he does make the cut, finishes very, very high. So I'll give him a shot as well. 7K to 7,400. I'll be honest, I like this range a little more than the 75 to 79 yeah, range. What do you like here?
Start with Snedeker at 7,400. He's been playing well. He had not been playing well, and he's figured something out. 6th, 42nd, and 11th in his last three events. That 6th place finish was at the Texas Open, which was a little over a month ago, and since then, 42nd and 11th in those two starts. So, like him quite a bit. Tom Hoge at 72, two straight missed cuts, played well the last time in Texas, 12th place finish. John Catlin, mm-hmm. Been playing over in Europe, 5th and 1st in his last two events over there. You know, GPP only. Vegas at 7,200, again, GPP only, but he's made two straight cuts. He did miss the cut the last time out in Texas. Keep that in mind. Vincent Whaley, dude, this guy, I was looking at a GBP like winning lineup. I think some guy, you know, had tweeted at Mayo or whatever. And long story short, this guy played Whaley, and I'm like, fuck, why would you play Whaley? Mm-hmm. Well, because he hasn't missed a cut
very well.
Yeah, he missed a fucking cut since Phoenix.
Yep,
back in February. Yep. I mean, 26th, 29th, 34th, 28th, 36th, 15th, 50th. I mean, nothing spectacular, but he's making cuts, and you know he's been in the 6Ks, so this is a price bump for him. Another, I mean, it's 7,000. It's not like it's a huge price bump, but he's up there. So
no, I like Whaley quite a bit, actually.
It'll be interesting to see how highly touted he is throughout the week.
True, true.
Because this is, you know, a range where he's surrounded by guys. Did you see Harry Higgs's 4 yell?
Of course.
On 18,
absolutely,
and
amazing.
Then and then the shot to that was just a wild hole. Like that is so far left, it's not even funny. Kevin Chappell, 7,000, be the last guy that I'll mention here, coming off a miscut at the Texas Open, but he's better than a $7,000 player if he figures it out. So I think he's worth the gamble.
Yeah, Whaley, I know I played him at, I believe it was Corrales, where he got 28th. And I definitely played him there, and I've kind of stared at him. Even this past week in the Slack chat, I want to say it was Charlie, but or Derek. One of them asked about him on Wednesday, like, hey, this guy is doing great. He's like $6,300. What do you think? I said, he's got great form. He's $6,300 for a reason, but if you want to roll within a GPP, I don't hate it. Because
yeah.
I wasn't like fully on board, but I was like, I get it. I totally get it down there. So it worked out well. I wish I would have joined them on that instead of Adam Schenck, but hey, here we are. But yeah, I don't mind Whaley again. It will be interesting to see how much he gets talked about, like you said, and how people are kind of maybe catching on to that now. It just takes one of those winning weeks like that to see it. But I don't mind him. Some other guys I like quite a bit here, Straka. If you got first-round leader bets, play him on that because he likes to disappear from time to time. But he's made five straight cuts. He's $7,300. And if it's a course where you do need a good approach from 175 to 200, he's one of the best on tour. So I think Sepp at $7,300 is very intriguing. I think I'm going back to flat bill finally. 26th at Wells Fargo, 29th at the Valspar. Missed the cut at the Heritage, then three more straight made cuts there. He's $7,300 in a field where we talk about how top-heavy it is. He's intriguing. Johnny Vegas, he's another Texas-type boy. Two straight made cuts, made five of his last six cuts, finished. He missed a cut at the Valero of all places, though. But yeah. 43rd last week at the Wells Fargo. So I like Johnny Vegas at $7,200 in this one. And then the last one I have here, I love playing them on these kind of courses, it feels like, and I just get suckered into them or something. But Wyndham Clark at 7,000. He's one of those other guys that can finish much higher than a $7,000 price tag. If he can putt at all, he'll be in contention, at least top 20 contention. Let me clarify that real quick. So Wyndham Clark at $7,000. I'll be on him probably too much this week just because I think that's too cheap of a price tag for him. 6K range, Jesse. What do we like him?
Start with KH Lee at 69. Started really well, 66 out the gate. Almost missed the cut.
He was like five or six under through like five holes or something on Friday and almost missed the cut. It wasn't even a full 18 holes.
I mean, he shot 66, 77, 70, 76. So finished 58th, four straight made cuts. And so at 6,900, I think he's worth a bit there. Josh Teeter, man, for some reason, he's rating out very well in the model. Actually saw his caddy Lee, friend of the pod, down at B-Dubs a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
And
golden tea or what?
No. He was just hanging out with some friends. Talked to him for a little bit. Didn't tell me anything cool. Don't have any inside knowledge.
Come on, Lee.
Hell? He just said that they were going to be down here to play. So there they are. Yeah. There they are. If he does give me any info, I will definitely put that behind the paywall. and that's it, man. I'm really not feeling this range down here. No. I'm hopefully not going to be playing any of these guys, but I'll be rooting for Josh either way.
I was sliding through this range trying to find something to like latch onto. Like Cage Lee coming in, he's probably one of the best form players in this 6K range, if that says anything to you. Sam Ryder is always intriguing to me, but I don't like his form right now. But hey, maybe he finds something different coming back here to Texas. The only other guys I had down there was Troy Merritt, finished 34th at the Valero, 8th at the Valspar, missed cut at the Wells Fargo. He seems to play well on the Texas courses. And same with Joseph Bramlett at 6,700. Those are the only guys I really had written down. I just kept sliding down the price range. I was like quietly vomiting in my mouth about the options I had to take here. And watch one of these guys like top 10 this week, and I'll just be like, yeah, okay. Like, I'm sorry. I'd be just throwing names at a wall right now if I tried to give you something to play. So it's rough. It's rough, which makes it even harder to play 10K and above. But speaking of which, Jesse, who is your top 10K and above play?
Quietly vomiting in my mouth. it's just Spieth. It's Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, it's got to be Spieth. I'll just tag along there. Give me some Spieth. Who's your top 9K play?
It's going to be a bad idea, but I'm going to say Scheffler.
I like that a lot, and it's going to be chalky. And remember last time he was this chalky? We were both on him. Remember this one? Like 7 over, 7 under, missed the cut by one.
Yeah. Oh, when he was feeling it, and he was definitely going to, yeah.
Yeah, that was, we were both on that train. Don't worry about it. But I'll go Fitzpatrick at 95 because that's the brand. Got to stay hashtag brand on that one. 8K range, who you got there?
I'm going to say Peters.
I like the Peters call. I'm going to go Schwartzel. I'm going to stick with it and make sure to put some extra Schwartz in my lineup this week. 7,500 to 79, who's your top play?
Uline.
It's an ugly range.
It is.
I'm going to go Gim, but again, like the thing you said I agree with, if he's too chalky, do not do it. I like this range better, though, 7K to 7,500.
Sneds
is a nice one. I'll go Wyndham Clark in this range. And then your top punt if you have to punt.
K.H. Lee.
Yeah, I guess to be different, I'll say Bramlett, but it's nasty. Like, really try everything in your power to avoid this range if you can. If you're building a cash lineup this week, Jesse, what are you looking for?
Yeah, cash is going to be difficult, just given the kind of, obviously, unknown. I really wouldn't play cash. I think Palmer, is fine. I think Sneed's at 7,400 is cash worthy. I think that's too cheap of a price on him. Scheffler, I don't know.
It's tough. I'm going to go with Fitz, Schwartzel, and Viegas. Or not Viegas. Not Viegas. I had Vegas, Johnny Vegas, which is terrifying in cash. Just to say Johnny Vegas cash is like a terrifying thing. But I like him to at least make the cut this week. So I'm just
no chance I'd play him in cash.
No, it's terrifying. it's a rough week for cash. GPP lineups, what are you looking to build with here?
Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
Jordan Spieth. Can you put him on your team six times?
Three Jordan Spieths, three KH Lees. Is that fit for you?
I do think KH on there, and then Siwoo, man.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I'm going to go with the Fitzpatrick Scheffler combo with a little bit of a Schwartzel on that one. So that's where I'll be heading. You just talking about these builds right now is going to be a fun Wednesday. I can already tell. My goodness. Who you got winning this thing?
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, he is a whopping 10-1. So, yep. You can do that one for sure. Scheffler's 20. That'll be interesting. I don't mind that leash call. He's 25-1.
I don't mind that.
Overlooked. He's getting overlooked in everything I've seen so far. Yeah. That's intriguing as get up.
Palmer at 40 has a little bit of, obviously we look at Balvada here, so you may get better odds somewhere else, but Palmer in that range, I don't mind either. I know a lot of people are on him. So like one thing you could do, if you don't want to play a chalky Palmer or a chalky Scheffler, maybe bet him.
Yep, put a couple bucks on him that way. Yeah. Definitely one way to do it.
Assuming that you're in a state where it's legal.
True. Or you have some close friends that know people that know people. So those kinds of situations.
You have a local
bookie? Yeah, local.
It's highly illegal. Like I wouldn't do something like that.
We don't endorse that on the show at all. Yes, if you have a gambling problem, please contact 1-800-GAMBLER. Yeah. I think that's what it is. I don't know. But other than that, like top 20 plays pretty much stand out because, like we keep saying, this is such a top-heavy field. I really can't picture a lot of these guys farther down, especially not knowing the golf course. Like, if it's literally a birdie fest, I guess that opens it up to some more people, I guess. But in reality, if it's as easy as that is, like Bryson and Spieth and Rahm and these guys should be going 20 under easily, as long as they're not just trunk slamming. So we'll see how it goes, Jesse. But final thoughts, as we basically said, it's very difficult to play cash. It's very top heavy. We have no idea how the course is going to play.
Yes, I mean, it'll be fun week, though. New course. It'll be fun to watch. Obviously, remember your weather. Mm-hmm. Check the weather. Did you see, this is going a little bit off topic, but it's not really, the difference between the AM PM wave last week? It was like the second highest ever recorded as far as like when in the last few, probably 5 years or something, but it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I wish I would have followed that, Mark. They kept talking about it in the Slack chat, and I was just like, well, I had like 2/3 late and 1/3 in the morning. Guess who all missed the cut? The morning.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a lot of
fun. So watch the weather. It's always, there's always a potential for a wind draw in Texas. And then the PGA Championship next week, man.
Yep.
The next major.
Like, I just pulled up AccuWeather, and obviously things can change, but it's not going to be that hot this week. So 73 on Thursday, wind gusts up to 16 miles. Now there's some rain coming in on Tuesday, so it might lighten things up. But Friday, 78 with the wind gusts of 18 miles an hour. I'm just doing the Dallas forecast, so work from that. And it warms up to like the mid-80s with a lot more wind on the weekend, but we don't care about that because we can't predict who's going to be there on the weekend. So on paper now, it doesn't look too bad, but like we said, it could change early and often. So check all that stuff out. If you have any questions, hit us up in the Slack chat. It is free. Just ask us. We'll get you on in there. Lots of fun stuff there. As Jesse said, we have a major next week, so that'll be a fun one. And another pretty much new course. We have a little bit of data there, but pretty much a new course as well. So that'll be interesting, but check Jesse out on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm on Twitter at BDintrick, the podcast at Always Press TFS. We'll catch you guys next week.